sing that song very often here, but it's certainly appropriate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Vicki, welcome again. Express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we do say it sincerely. And again, there's an outline in the bulletin. If you'd like to follow along, you're very welcome to do that. All the points of the lesson come from the text that was read to us this morning. A way of introduction, you're familiar that there is a national holiday this week called Thanksgiving Day. You're familiar with, I know, some of the background concerning that day. One article I saw mentions that Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday in the United States, commemorating the harvest of the Plymouth Colony in 1621. The event followed a winter of great hardship. When it was first inaugurated, meaning Thanksgiving Day, only a few eastern states participated. However, through the effort of Sarah Hale, a change was effected. She was fired with determination of having the whole nation join together in setting apart a national day for giving thanks, and the quote was, "unto him from whom all blessings flow." So to this end, she resolutely engaged the press with an endless flow of letters and articles to the various newspapers and journals of her time. And in addition, she pleaded long and earnestly with three presidents: President Fillmore, President Pierce, and President Buchanan, during the time of 1846 through 1856. There was a small measure of triumph granted in the year 1852 when her campaign succeeded in uniting 29 states in marking the last Thursday of November as Thanksgiving Day. Then came the Civil War. Who would listen, the article says, to a lone woman with her persistent plea for just, in quote, for just one day of peace amidst the blood and strife, end quote. Well, one man did. Her persistence won the ear of a great American, and in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln officially proclaimed the last Thursday of November as a day set apart for the national giving of thanks to Almighty God. Lincoln lived to see only two such occasions. Sarah Hale lived into her 90s, content that her long-cherished hope had at last become a reality. And then to finish the article, President Franklin D. Roosevelt, in 1939, moved the Thanksgiving Day from November 30 to November 23rd. That was a month that when there were five Thursdays in the month of November. But officially, in 1941, it was made to be held on the fourth Thursday of November, even if November had five Thursdays. So it's always the fourth Thursday. Our nation dedicates one day each year to remember to be thankful, even though we know to be thankful every day, even in our nation. But certainly we as Christians need to have not only that knowledge, but that reminder to be thankful every day. In the psalm that was read to us this morning, and you can see your notes, all the information that's contained in this psalm to remind us to be thankful. In Psalm 100 begins again, "Make a joyful noise or a shout to the Lord, all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. And we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name. The Lord is good." The translation Dennis read was "loving kindness," but New King James has "His mercy," or "loving kindness." "Is everlasting." Then His truth is in the New King James Version. Is endures to all generations. Let's look at this psalm, and you can see I highlighted the words in your notes at the top, in quoting the verse, and each highlight is one of the points in the outline. So number one, when we think of thanksgiving, I want you to notice the sound of thanksgiving. Verse one, make a joyful shout or a noise to the Lord. It's the joyful noise comes from the joyful people. And it's all of us, all your lands. No one's left out. There's almost an obligation or requirement that God wants from His creation. Would you make a joyful shout back to me? For all that I've given you, would you respond in kind? No one's left out. Some say, well, I can't sing, but you can make a joyful noise. I've heard Sandra bump my mouth. I just penciled it into my margin of my notes, Sandra. I wasn't sure I was going to say anything, but. You know, Sandra Bumgarner always mentioned this years and years ago. She says, I can't sing, but I can make a joyful noise. But then, I'm sorry, Diana, Sandra usually says, that's why I don't like to sit with having somebody in front of me. Because I make a joyful noise. They may not think it's a joyful sound. but still, she involves herself. But no one's left out. Number two, there's a service of thanksgiving. Now, in other words, if you're thankful, you need to show it. We use that phrase in elementary school, show and tell time. Well, that's what we need to do with our thanksgiving. Not just tell thanksgiving, let's show it to each other. Serve in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Show. Serve, that's when you know, it means to work, to minister. There's a duty involved. You're enlisted in that service. It's an active involvement. So when we see each other in our friendship and fellowship, it's almost, we come to each other, what do you need? How can I help you? I want to express my thanksgiving to God by helping each other. You know, let me get that for you. And then we need to do it all with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know what gladness means? I looked it up. I could give you a few words on my own, but let me see. You're going to serve with gladness means you serve with joy. If you serve with gladness, it's a pleasure. I'm delighted to do that. One dictionary definition had included the word tickle. I'm just tickled for an opportunity to help you, to serve you. It's the showing of a good mood or disposition. It gives me cheer to help. Serve the Lord with gladness. Should be done even when we're coming to the assembly. Anticipate, you know, a time together for worship. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said, let's go up into the house of the Lord. Next time we have an assembly, Lord willing, next Lord's Day, will you be glad that it's time to come to worship? I mean, by definition of joy and gladness, will you be tickled? Lord's Day, get the assembly together. Oh, joy. Oh, I can't wait till next Lord's Day morning. That's the definition and the meaning of the text. If that doesn't describe you, then something, well, just examine yourself. We all of us as brethren, in our thankfulness to God, not only anticipate the worship assembly, but be glad that it's time. Be delighted to come together. In Psalm 67, verse 3, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Now, you know, I turn these curtains sometimes after during a Bible class. I wonder if it's almost time to start anybody else coming. But sometimes when I watch you coming into the building, when I watch you leave, sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, when we get together to sing, and we get the words of the song, these songs we're singing to ourselves. And we're singing to encourage one another. We say, I want to be a worker for the Lord. I'm singing to me. I want to be a worker. Singing the same thing. When we sing, other songs, we come together to give you worship and praise and other songs. Oh, we're singing to each other. Help me, Lord, in our song. And many of our songs have a special section booked in singing praise to God. One of the songs, thank you, Lord. You know what you just did? As me as an individual and you, we sang together, encouraging one another to give our praise to God. When we sing, we're thanking God, but we are speaking and encouraging one another with the words of the song. Speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart, my heart, to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four. You have other verses in your notes you can read on your own. Number four, the knowledge of thanksgiving. Two things to know. At least he mentions in the text. There's a lot to know. But the text mentions two things. Number one, know that the Lord, He's God. He's God. God reminded Israel of that, His people, the Old Testament, even though they knew He was God. But He said through Moses, let me remind you. In Exodus 20, verse 1, God spoke these words saying, I'm the Lord your God. I'm the one who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. So when we come and give our thanks to God, an attitude of thanksgiving, number one, you ain't His own, He's God. And aren't any others. Second, he says, it is in verse 3, it is He who made us. I need to know that too. Psalm 139, verse 14, David said, I'll praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You may not think so. I'm looking at you. And I'm saying, God, marvelous are your works. Just a mighty fine job. with this hunk of a man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You made me. Number five are the people of thanksgiving. So know these two more things. Know that we are His people. 1 John 3, verse 1 says that in other places, but John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Wow. That's impressive. We're His people. And He gives an added phrase to describe that relationship that we have. It says, and we're the sheep of His pasture. Why use that phrase? We think, what does a shepherd do for the sheep? We're the sheep of His pasture. We walk in His creation, but there's the shepherd. And in Psalm 23, as you're very familiar with, the Lord, make it personal, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. We are His people. I mean, I am, think of it, make it personal. I am too. And I'm the sheep of His pasture. He's going to take care of me, lead me, and feed me. What have I to ask besides? Thank you. the showing of thanksgiving. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful and blessed. Wow, there's a mouthful. You notice it's not thanks thinking. Not thanks wishing. It's thanksgiving. Giving. Ephesians 5:20, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Yeah. And then last one, number 7. Three reasons for giving thanks. One is unclean. Leroy, go back and welcome those people in. They're going to use our building this afternoon. So the last point, on the three reasons for thanksgiving. Number one is in verse 5, for he's good, meaning upright, virtuous, benevolent, noble, blameless, and the attributes of God just keep going on and on. So we say, thank you, Lord, because of who you are. Then second, he says, his mercy is everlasting. Boy, I need mercy. And I don't need it just once. I need mercy over and over and over again. Lord, I need you again today. Well, be merciful to me. You know, it means compassion. And typically, when you think of mercy, you're showing mercy on someone who is undeserving. Is God loving kindness? Mercy? I can earn it. I can't say, God, you owe me. I can't obligate God to give me mercy and loving kindness. No. Mercy is extended to me even when I don't deserve it. Mercy. No, I plead guilty and beg for mercy. I'm guilty as charged. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, God who is rich in mercy, meaning God has plenty. God abounds in mercy. He has lots of it. And it's everlasting. It's always there. Always there. Ceaseless. All the time. And then his truth endures to all generations. So what God said back here in the Psalm, he says the same thing to us today. It's still good. It's still right. And it lasts. It's for our blessing, our benefit. That's the lesson for us from Psalm 100 today. Always when we meet together for worship at the close of the lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Maybe one here this morning, and I remember the New Testament church. They've been baptized for remission of sin. There's a simple plan or formula that you need to be aware of and to know. And number one is you need to hear the good news message. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? And then second, you'll need to, once you've heard that message, you need to believe it. John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he gave his son. Believe that good news, gospel message. Hebrew writer said in chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sin. I don't want to die in my sin. So I need to hear that good news message, number one, and believe it. Number three, I need to repent of my sins, turn my life around. I need to think of my relationship to God as something, you know, horrible. I can't save myself. I'm on a dead-end road. What direction do I need to go? I need to turn around and go toward God. No, I hate the situation. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 13, verse 3. 5, except you repent, you'll perish. Then you need to confess your faith. That you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And then you'd be baptized for remission of sin. So that's the plan that we extend, the invitation that we extend. If you're here this morning, you're welcome to respond to that. As we're singing this song, just come and have a seat beside me. I'll, at the close of the song, I'll just simply ask you, what's on your mind? And And your response would be, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sin. And we can accomplish that right now. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, for prayers, they haven't made a request to do so already. We can answer that. So let's stand together and sing the song that...